Good morning. Today is Thursday, December the 19th. Joining us this morning is Eureka City Schools Superintendent Fred Van Fleck. Good morning.
Good morning.
Before we get into it, I don't know if everybody heard or not, but community commenter Fred Nelson passed on Tuesday.
Oh, I did not
so
hear
So we
that
have enough. a little bit of something on the website. Fred's last seven or eight comments, you can go there directly on the front page and link to him. Fred was kind of like our functional historian.
Yes, longtime postmaster.
Yes, and had all kinds of neat stories about Eureka in the 30s, 40s.
Right.
You know,
right.
For a lot of us, that was pre-existence. And it was kind of nice to get those little glimpses back in first person.
Yeah, so, I'm very sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, so Fred has passed on, and we have his memories. So.
Yeah.
Wanted to mention that one to everybody and you know, condolences.
Absolutely. I agree.
All righty, sir.
So last time you got this correct, if I
you gonna do it again?
Correctly, I did kindergarten. Let's see if you can do it again.
Kindergarten?
That was last time.
Right.
You got it correct.
Yeah.
So let's see how you do this time.
Oh, okay. You're not going to give me kindergarten again.
No.
Good.
No. That would have been really concerning if you didn't get it correct the second time, but you did the first.
All right. Bring it on.
All right. Limelight. Why do we say that a person of prominence is in the limelight?
Let's see. It must have something to do with stage or theater for the lighting purposes.
Oh, you're hot on the trail. Hot on the trail.
The lime.
The lighting part. The lighting purposes.
Yeah.
Keep digging there. Let me know when you want an answer.
I mean, lime is probably short or like Latin for something. I don't think it's for lime, like lemon and lime.
Because at one time, calcium or lime was necessary. Element in making the light of
candles.
A spotlight. Yep. In order to produce a brilliant white light, a stream of oxygen and one of hydrogen were burned upon a ball of lime.
So it was the flash.
There you go.
Okay. Probably just close enough to still get an F.
I'll give you an F+.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah. Kind of coming out of the muck and the mire there a little bit.
You know, the interesting thing is an F is all the way from 0% to 59%, so maybe not an F+, because I don't even think you're 50% there.
Well, you know what? In sales, if we're hitting 50%, I'm retired.
Yes,
so
there you go.
I'll take the F. I'll embrace the F.
You know, that's an interesting thing. It actually is, candidly, a problem with our grading system. Realistically, if you think about that statistically, if you miss one assignment and get a zero on that, it takes several assignments of being an A or a B to wipe out that zero. And so there's been a lot of research actually about changing, and we have changed our grading practices in our elementary schools and gone to standards-based grading just because of that very reason.
That doesn't mean satisfactory, unsatisfactory, does it?
No, it means meeting standard or not meeting standard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just broader strokes.
Yep.
I wonder, just a decimal.
A decimal?
10, 20, 30, up to 100%. That's what it is. You total it up at the end, and you've got your bracketing, and thank you very much.
But see, that does the same thing, because if you do that, you still don't get into those passing grades until you get, you know, theoretically a D is passing. But if you go to...
But that may not be at 60%.
What? So
that could be at 30%, say, if it's a tough subject matter.
So the argument is to go to a 1-2-3-4 system, just like the grade points are.
Well,
so,
same thing.
Right. Well, it
just smaller numbers.
Yeah, well, one is...
Easier to add for the mathematicians in the crowd, right?
Zero and Fred math, yes. Yeah. I use that often. So zero and one would be an F. One would be a D, two would be a C, three would be a B, and four would be an A. And so it is when you miss an assignment, it is not as difficult to make that up or move that forward.
Right, because everything's equal spaced.
Correct. And that's the key, equal spacing. No matter how you look at it, if you do decimals, whatever, as long as you have that equal spacing. So there's your 2-minute tip on grading for the day.
Wow.
You want to give me a grade on that?
No,
I don't.
Yeah. See, F is functional for me.
F is Fred for me.
Yeah.
So there you go.
A double win, huh?
Yep. Yeah, yep. There you go. Yes.
I take the F, teacher, and embrace it. One with the F. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, last time you were here, you talked a little bit about the challenge under Del Norte Street.
Okay. Yes.
Since then, Brian Gerving came in, and he talked a little bit about some of the work that they were doing underneath Franklin School at Myrtle and replacing that and how that arm, branch, creek, whatever it is, of the slough is the one that runs up through 14th.
Actually, that's the same drainage.
Right. Yep. Well, don't steal my thunder, man. It goes all the way
that
up
was a
through.
Lead in for me.
Gets beyond Booner and up into L, where the
through
springs,
Gulch,
where the springs really
across
are.
14th Street.
Right, and into your neighborhood.
And then comes under the baseball, going backwards, comes under the baseball field, under Del Norte, under the softball field, scoreboard, and then up to Booner.
Yeah, under. Not under the pit where the plateau was. It's to the east side of that?
Yes.
And then goes up underneath.
Right, but it's actually exposed between Booner and the backside of the team room back there down there in Albee Stadium.
Right. Yep. So you can see right. it. So with that being there and the work that was done, I know we're hearing things now about emergency bonds. Okay, considering how people really embrace bonds in general, and as importantly, the fact that the school district has floated two significant ones in the last 10 years.
Not in the last 10.
15? When was it when Watkins did his thing?
A little over 15, 2002, I believe.
Okay, so that one sunsets when, in 40?
No, it would be about 30.
It was only a 30-year one?
Right. Listen
to me, only. Jeez.
Well, it's like a mortgage on a house, and so that's what we try to really. We could go longer than 30 years, but we really work hard to keep it at 30 years because I think for a couple things, for fiduciary responsibility, that's the lifespan of a modernization is 30 years, and we shouldn't be paying for something longer than what its lifespan is. Some things do last.
Now, that makes sense. You're talking about infrastructure.
Correct.
Okay, this better have a 50 to 75 year life, or.
Well, it should have longer, considering that the culvert, well.
Lasted a long time.
Well, here's where I'm going. Part of it did, part of it didn't. So a little bit of the history. Albee Stadium was put in right around 1915, somewhere in that vintage. And it was a concrete culvert that went underneath there, along with a bunch of laterals for all the drainage of the track, the grandstands, the softball field, and so forth. And that's the historic pieces that were in there. Remarkably, we talked to the city and said, hey, we think this is part of your responsibility because it's your drainage off of a lot of the streets for this culvert replacement. And unbelievably, they came up with a letter dated 1914 that said, we recommend you don't put in Albee Stadium in this culvert. And if you do, we won't be responsible for the maintenance. So good for them back then. That was a great decision-making on their part as far as getting themselves away from the responsibility of doing that. And so I don't hold that against them. It's just the amazing part that they found that letter dating way back to then. So anyways, this is infrastructure that's over 100 years old that we're talking about replacing. And so that goes back to that 30-year lifespan. Some of the infrastructure we do is much longer than 30 years. Some of it's less. So you go across Del Norte and you get into the baseball field. And that baseball field was put in the 80s. with sand that was hauled off the Samoa Dunes by the Army Corps of Engineers. So many people listening probably remember when all those trucks were making those rounds. And unfortunately, that was not real well thought out because they put a steel culvert in with beach sand. And so we all know what happens with steel and salt. So that culvert has completely failed.
Is that consultant still in existence?
I don't know. Well, the Army Corps of Engineers certainly is, because that's who did it.
Well, sure, but somebody must have done the report, making the recommendations, the size, and the materials.
I would venture to say that back in those days,
the Corps just did it themselves.
Done.
In the 80s?
I would venture to say.
Oh, come on. The Coastal Commission was in full flex then.
Yeah, but we're out of the coastal zone.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So I don't know. I haven't done a lot of research down that way. Where we've really been focusing our efforts is in Sacramento with the Office of Public School Construction, looking for matching dollars coming from them for local dollars. And so we have what's called a conceptual improvement from the Office of Public School Construction, stating that they will match local funds for the replacement of that culvert. So that'll be millions of dollars. The unfortunate thing about that is they set the number of what that is, and that's never the actual cost of what it takes to do it.
So what are you looking at digging up the baseball field, obviously?
So we have to dig up Bud Cloney Field, which is a baseball field.
Turn it into a softball field? Shorter fences and just...
Well, likely that'll remain a baseball field, but the culvert's 14 feet down. And then we've all dug in beach sand before, and so you know what happens when you try to dig in sand.
You're going to have to shore it up on...
Right.
You know.
It is just a nightmare to dig down to do that. And then you have to dig up all the laterals from the drainage that's all over that field, because there's spot drains all over that field to keep the field drained. And so then we have to put in all new laterals. And then once you do that, you have to do a complete new field surface. And so then you back up, you have to do the same thing on the softball field. You back up, you have to do the same thing on the football field. It goes underneath the track, so you have to do the same thing on the track.
Could you incorporate the softball and baseball fields together?
We've actually been talking about that.
It happens in a lot of places. You know, you just have a couple pegs out there at 60 feet instead of 90.
Well, in an ideal world, although my assistant superintendent of business services, Paul Ziegler, who is a former Crab, said, he's a lefty, I would love to play on that softball field because, you know, right field there would be easy.
Yeah, yeah. Put it up on the hill.
Yes.
Well, you know, he was always one looking for angles, you know, being a Fortuna kid like that. You know, but you probably already understand that to be the case. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism, because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck from Eureka City Schools. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Murphy's Markets, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and REDEC. Fred, you've got this looming issue that's there, and I would suspect that it's close to shutting everything down.
Oh, we shut the fields down. Here's the interesting thing.
I mean, and the road, too.
Actually, we put a camera down in the culvert, and we're able to put a tracked camera through the concrete culvert because what's failing on the concrete culvert is the mortar joints that where the pipes come together and where the laterals come
in. That's where it normally happens.
Right. Yeah. Underneath Del Norte is the best section of the whole pipe, and we believe that
really?
We will be able to get away with tying into the piece that comes under Del Norte and not having to do anything under Del Norte. So that's a good piece of the news, you know, but here's the kicker. One of the comments that's been out there is, well, why are you closing the fields down now? It's pretty convenient. Football season just ended, and now you close the fields down. And so you think about that for a second. On the surface, it sounds like that's correct. But here's the issue. During the football season this year, we didn't get any rain. Rain was basically non-existent until December this year.
Is that when it manifests itself?
That's when we get the sinkholes, is when it starts raining. And because what happens is you have those that steel culvert that's failing, and then you have those mortar joints that are failing. And so water starts draining straight through those holes in the culvert, and it creates the sinkholes that we've had in the softball field, underneath the track, and in the baseball field, and Bud Colony baseball field.
Yeah, washing out the fill.
Exactly, exactly. And so the big question is, are we going to be able to have graduation there this year? Because that's scheduled for June. And so we've got a class of several hundred
students. Thing you haven't gotten rid of Jacobs yet, huh?
I don't think Jacobs would be too attractive for graduation. The other thing is, what about all the spring sports? Spring sports start in February. So track and field, softball, baseball, all start in February. And so they're not going to be able to be on those fields this year in February. And so what our hope is, as soon as it stops raining, is that we're working with some local folks, and we might have to go out of the area for ground penetrating radar. And so,
okay, we've seen that on the TV shows.
Yeah, exactly. And so our hope is to run over that field with that radar to determine if there are any voids in there after the rainy season, so we can at least start using the fields when the rains have subsided.
How much fill is there?
It's all fill. So that culvert.
Well, okay,
is
how far down?
14 feet is where the culvert's down, and the culvert's basically on the base before the fill was there.
And oh, so, really? So it's not that much fill. I was thinking it could be, you know, 25 feet, 80 feet, depending on where, you know, how steep the canyon was.
No, it's in the center there. It's about 14, 15 feet of fill. And it goes underneath, and we actually had to condemn, you probably remember me talking about this, the welding shop down there, because of this same exact problem. The dirt soil from underneath that building has washed out and settled so far that in places that slab is sitting 18 inches off the ground in there, and it's collapsed in a couple places inside there, and it's, you know, so you have a
concave effect. Why not knock it down then?
Inside there. Oh, we're going to.
Okay.
And that's part of
it's a new HROP program. Demolition.
Demolition, yes.
Followed in series. Digging out or excavation.
Right, right, right.
Get the kids to work a little
bit. So luckily we received a career and technical education grant from the state to build the new welding shop up on top, along with three classrooms, two ag science classrooms and one standard ag classroom.
That's where the I-beams are sticking up?
Yep, exactly, right there off of Del Norte, right outside of the auto shop. And so the ag program will be on top of the hill. The wood shop was built with... back around 2004, and it has what's called a floating slab. So they actually dug down and did pour-in-place piers, and so that goes all the way down to native soil. And so even if that whole area was to wash out, that would be, think of a pier out on the bay, that'd be sticking up in the air. And
it'd be safe. Cool then.
Yeah, exactly.
Just build a bridge to it. Yeah,
maybe not very good handicap access, but
well, downhill.
Yes.
And, you know, like it is now, right? Everything's down.
So that'll be the one building that's left down below, is as far as instructional buildings, the wood shop. And then, of course, PE comes down and uses those fields all the time, but they've been shut off. Nobody's allowed to be down there right now.
So, yeah, certainly high schools like to have their own facilities, but you've got such a great one out at Redwood Fields for the baseball. And softball, too. I guess you'd probably use the Little League Park for softball, blade down one of the mounds, if worst-case scenario, or at Washington School, and use Humboldt State's facility. We were up there Saturday. It's first time. I think it's the first time I've been on campus in 10 years or so. I'd forgotten kind of how it was and then how they changed it. I mean, that's certainly better than any high school stadium will be. Why not use that track and that football facility? Friday nights, they're not using it for football.
Right. Well, Arcata High School is using it for football.
Okay.
But, and I think it's potentially possible that the field could be shared, but where the issue comes is practice. And so trying to transport the kids every day, and it becomes cost prohibitive to get
You couldn't use that as a practice facility.
Practice fields. And so you really need a football field to practice on to make it possible. Redwood Fields, same thing, getting students out there. Softball at Washington, that's exactly what our answer is this year. So we're going to be having softball at Washington. We've already had the conversation with some of the rec leagues and sharing those facilities.
Oh, yeah, you could use the Kennedy Fields. I hadn't even thought about that.
Those are all possible, but the challenge becomes getting the students there. And so most high schools around the state have the fields at their school so the students can go straight after school and practice because, again, we want to keep the students there.
Sure,
the
ideally.
On the campus, the less likely there is for injury. I mean, for instance, just last night we had a student from Washington, a 9-year-old student, get hit on Harrison on his bicycle and hurt. Ran over 6 o'clock last night. Luckily, he's okay. So rough night last night for one of our Washington students.
KINS, News and Information Time, 8:42. We'll be back shortly.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. Final couple minutes with Mr. Van Fleck. We talked about tearing up the teacher's parking lot. We talked about tearing up the football field. What about tearing up the big old parking lot and starting on the much anticipated, almost mythical now, gym?
Oh, way to do the lead up for that. We actually have our groundbreaking ceremony coming up in February, and it is scheduled for February 7th at high noon. And so,
you're not anticipating any postseason basketball this year?
Well, we can continue to use our existing gym.
Parking attendance. That's the thing. Yeah, we don't need a parking down at Boone or
No, but you've got the whole parking lot behind the old Marshall School there, the district office. There's a big parking lot back there that's able to be used.
That's got some slots, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll handle most of it. Parking's going to be a challenge for a little bit while we build the gym because we're taking up that parking that's normally used for big events such as graduation and football and so forth, and that's not going to be available if we can use our football field next fall. So that's not going to be available.
Well, the buses?
And if we can have graduation there this spring, those are all interesting things.
Will the buses continue to access through there, or will they be parking on J?
We may have to move them to J. For a while, they'll be able to access through there, but the buses aren't as big of an issue as the big event parking. That's going to be a nightmare. And then once the new gym is built, the old gym comes down, and that becomes a new parking lot where the old gym is.
Are you going to get the city to be able to vacate J Street? And just kids dodging cars, to me, is the most asinine thing in the world.
Well, if I was...
Just make it a permanent and cut it off.
If I was to armchair quarterback and rewind the tapes in 20 years ago, I would have done just like we're doing with the Ag Building, is get all of our classrooms on the high school side of J Street. Because it's right now, crossing J Street, we have pottery, jewelry and art, which isn't too many students, but realistically I wish those were on the main campus, because the more we can keep the students confined, the better. Unfortunately, they're not. Those are buildings that were modernized in the early 2000s.
That's right, the great takeover of 2002.
Yep. So those classrooms aren't going anywhere anytime soon because they have a tremendous amount of useful life left in them, and so they'll stay like that. But the more we can get the campus together, like, for instance, bringing the ag program up, that's over 300 students a day that we're walking down to the bottom of the hill. And so we'll greatly minimize that. Woodshop will still walk down there, and then we'll still have those couple classes.
But you can't get those two blocks of J Street.
Nope.
And shut them down.
No. Used to be they were shut down during the day,
yeah,
back in the old days, but it's just not a real option that's out there anymore.
Thanks for coming by. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas.
See everybody tomorrow.